Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 382, stanzas 1 through 5. Lord, thou hast searched me, and dost know where'er I rest, where'er I go. Thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand. 1 through 5 of Psalter 382.
of morning take, and far away my dwelling make. The hand that leadeth me is thine, and my support I part
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in Psalm 38. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 38. A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as in heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, of the heavens and of the earth. Thou who dwellest on high amidst the cherubims, Thou who sittest upon Thy throne, and before whom the host of heaven do bow and cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. O Thou yet lookest upon the earth and beholdest the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth. And Thou seest also us and our children. And Lord, we cannot worship Thee even as we were created to worship Thee. Then we also did the same to prostrate ourselves before Thee, not only with the body, but especially with our soul, that we did worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we have fallen so deeply that we have no more ability, but we also have no more desire. All our desire that lays in the world and all the things that are here below, hearts that are so carnal, that are so of the earth, earthy. And Thou dost say that where Your treasure is, there will Your heart be also. And Lord, so we must confess to Thee in this morning hour that our treasure of ourselves, that is in all these things that are passing away, and that are soon to be consumed, and that are soon to be burned up, when Thou wilt roll up the heavens as a scroll. And Lord, oh, could it please Thee in this Thy holy day, a day that Thou hast set aside for that true worship of Thee, already before the fall, before we have departed, before we had turned our back to Thee, and Thou hast yet preserved Thy day through all that misery that we have brought upon ourselves. Oh, we beseech Thee, if Thou wouldst come yet this day, and that Thou would look upon us and upon our children, to have mercy amidst well-deserved wrath, and not to deal with us as we so justly deserve, to cut us off and to cast us away for that never-ending eternity. Lord, so just and so righteous wouldst Thou be, and not to look upon us, and not to hear us, even in this morning hour. All we deserve, that Thou wouldst hide Thy face from us forever and forever, because our hearts have no desire for Thee. But, Lord, we beseech Thee, oh, take reasons out of Thyself this day. Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And, Lord, lost we are with our children. We do not know the way to return into Thy blessed communion and Thy favor. Oh, we are so engrossed in a broken covenant. Oh, instruct us, Lord, that we may be raised from the dead, even in this thy holy day, that thou may work that miracle that we cannot work in ourselves and in our dear children as we are cast out in the open field and as we lie polluted in our own blood. Then we have in this day, O Lord, but one hope, and we have but one expectation, and that is that thou would come in our midst, and that thou would bless thy own word upon thy day, that thou may bless thy own institutions, and that thou would work mightily by thy Spirit to apply that which thou hast accomplished in thine only begotten Son. Oh, that it may not be in vain, that he has suffered the pains of death, and that he has paid the price for his church, Lord, that we also may be among that people, and that thou would yet include us who have excluded ourselves, and that thou would do for us above all that we deserve. Oh, remember young and old. Be with those that have grown up under thy truth and have heard it so many years and have become hardened under the preaching of law and gospel. Lord, could it please thee to break also at those hard and stony hearts, and to give that also older ones, when they may feel even to be past all hope this day, when that heart that has grown so cold and so accustomed to the reading, to the preaching, and when they cannot move themselves to one good thought and to one good desire, oh, remember such this day. And oh, break thou that hard and stony heart, that it may learn to cry out for the first time, oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Remember also the children. Oh, they are not too young. Thou can work in the days of their youth. Oh, thou can show them that this world that is passing by. Oh, come, Lord. And wilt thou instruct them in the days of their youth, that they might remember their Creator in those days before the evil days draw nigh. Oh, remember fathers and mothers in all the busyness of our lives. Thou dost say that for so many, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Oh, then we look unto thee, Lord. Thou art the only one that can make it different. From our side, it is such an impossibility. But oh, that thou wouldst look upon us as parents and as older ones, and that thou would work in this thy holy day. Remember all that are not married, those that have no children, and for whom these things may be a burden in their life, and those that have other burdens known to thee. Oh, supply also for the natural things, and give that those things may be a little means in thy hand to draw to thyself. and that it may be experienced that thou art alive, and that that heart may be drawn to the true and the living God. Look upon all those that have special needs, those that are afflicted and sick, the little infants, the children, also the older ones that receive treatments from time to time for the body. Wilt thou bless and sanctify the treatments and the ways? Wilt thou look upon all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all the needs and the cares, the sorrows, the missing, the loneliness in this life, and help us to bear the burdens of one another? Wilt thou go before thy servants this day, on thy holy day, when they are truly thrust forth into thy vineyard by thyself? Then thou dost promise, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, that it may be felt, O Lord, that it may be experienced by thy servants, and also all those that must lead in the reading services, and that thine everlasting arms are underneath, and that thou helpest with the official duties, that thou may give a blessing also unto them, that thou may not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Also for those who are on the mission fields, wilt thou give strength each day for thy servants and all those that help in those labors. Lord, so wilt thou go before us this morning. Open thy word, open our hearts, be amongst us as one that doth serve feelingly and believingly. Glorify thy name, save our souls, forgive all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 253, stanzas 1 through 4 and 7 through 9. O Lord, thou judge of all the earth, to whom all vengeance doth belong, arise and show thy glory forth, requite the proud, condemn the wrong. 1 through 4, 7 through 9 of Psalter 253. Thank you. Congregation, our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Psalm 38, the 9th verse. Psalm 38, verse 9. Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. So far the words of our text. The omniscience of the Lord. And first, the reality of this omniscience. And second, the comfort of this omniscience. The omniscience of the Lord. First, the reality of it. Second, the comfort of this omniscience. Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. When something is, congregation, as we read here, before us, then it is, as it were, directly in front of us. Then it is not hidden from us, but it is all out in the open. We can see that so very, very clearly. And David is speaking here about the things that are not hidden and that are before or directly in front of, not men, but the eyes of the Lord. And what are those things in this world that are before the Lord, that are not hidden from Him? That is everything. Hanani has spoken to King Asa that the eyes of the Lord, they go to and fro throughout the whole earth. That is, that there is absolutely nothing that is hidden from the Lord. And that is now one of the very first impressions that is in the heart of one who may receive a new life. That is the existence of God. And that is that God, He sees and He knows everything. By nature, we do not have such an impression. No, we read about Gehazi that he came into Elisha. He says, "Thy servant went no whither." And then he thought that everything that he had done in that way of deceit was hidden not only from God's servant, but from the Lord Himself. And those brothers of Joseph, they went home and told their father quite a story. But they had no impression in their heart that the Lord, He has seen everything. We know the doctrine well, yes, from our youth with our children. That is the doctrine of the omniscience of God. But we do not believe it. We have no impression of it. Young people, how many things would you refrain from doing in your life had you only an impression that there was someone watching, that there was someone with you? Maybe also things on the internet, or the places that you go, or the friends that you are with, the things that you do? Or do you feel how full of unbelief that we really are? that we do not believe in God by nature, in His existence, in His being, in His attributes, then our faith, that is a faith that is only historical, that is only in our mind, and it brings no fruit forth in our life. It has no effect. It does nothing for us in a daily way. But now when the Lord comes, when the Lord is converting a man, oh, how different that this now becomes in his life. Do you know what that is? Because the Lord Jesus, He revealed to that Samaritan woman that He knew everything that was in her whole life. Then He revealed to her His great omniscience, that He knew exactly what she had done in her life. So that she herself is expressing that to her friends. Come see a man that has told me all things whatsoever I have done in my life. Job had that same impression. Then he says, even hell that is naked before him. Do you know? Boys and girls, the psalm that speaks about that omniscience of God, maybe you can read that when you come home today. That is Psalm 139. David wrote, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether, and so on. That is that impression that the Lord is laying in the heart of His children in that new birth. And that is true faith. True faith that is planted in the soul. Then I begin to what? I begin to believe. I begin to believe in God, in whom I have never believed before. Then I begin to believe that He exists. Then I begin to believe that the Holy Scriptures, they are His holy word. They shall be fulfilled. There was, boys and girls, one time, a little girl, maybe I've told you that already, one time. There was a little girl. She was together with a group of other young people, and they went to one of these places for ice cream. And there, when it was your birthday, then you got a free ice cream. And then it was the idea of those young people that they would say that it was the birthday of one of them, then they would have a free ice cream. But that little girl, oh, then she says to them, no, no, don't do it. Why not? Then she had that impression in her heart that there was one who was watching, and there was one who would see everything that they did. There can be no true religion in our heart without this impression. Because it is the impression of that new life
And because true faith, that is the basis of that new life. We can have much outward religion, and we can have much outward form, and we can perform many ceremonies, and we can perform many duties in our life, but it means nothing. Because true religion that begins with faith in that living God, not with baptism, not with confession of faith, not with coming to the Lord's Supper, but God is a spirit, and he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And when the dead, the spiritually dead, they are raised up to that new spiritual life, then is the beginning of that true worship. Know then that people, they would never call that a true worship. No, then they think, I cannot worship God because my heart that is so carnal, my heart is so worldly. But do you know what is born in their life? Reverence. Reverence. And that reverence, that is the foundation of that true worship. Then I begin to feel that majesty and that holiness of that Most High God. How then do you think such a boy or girl or father or mother or older one, how then do you think that they will begin to approach unto that Most High God? Then it will not be the same as when we approach unto our friend. Then it will not be in a very casual manner. No, but then it will be with a great reverence. How then do you think such a person will begin to read in God's holy word? Then that also will not be as we will read another book, a novel in our life. That we read that word in such a casual way. But then we will have an impression that it is the holy word of God. Oh, how offended that we would be when we had written a book and when we heard that book read, as we so often are reading that holy word of God. Would we read it so, when we had that impression in our heart that God also was in our midst, and that we were before his holy countenance, all that omniscience of God, that omniscience of God that is the cause of so much unrest in man. Isaiah says, there is no peace unto the wicked. And why not? Why have the wicked no peace, no rest in their hearts? It is because in the heart of everyone, there are left some remnants of that image of God in which we were created in paradise. that there is something of that innate knowledge and that conscience of man that is always gnawing. Man tries to stop it. He tries to silence that conscience, but he cannot receive any inner rest. The sin of man that is written on his conscience. That is the only reason that lie detectors that man makes also in this world, that they have any function. Because those detectors, they are detecting that unrest that is in the heart of man when he feels that he is before that all-knowing God. And that is proof that the unbelief that lays in our heart concerning the existence of God, that unbelief is a matter of rebellion. That we don't want to believe in that existence of that omniscient being. And so poor is the man that remains his whole life fighting against the Lord. But how is it when the Lord himself is coming in the life of a man, then there is also no peace. And why no peace? Because again, then the Lord is bringing that man before him. And then he is opening the conscience and everything that is laying in that heart of that man, so that he receives that impression that there is nothing, that there is nothing hid from God. And that is not all at once, but then the Lord is opening. Maybe first my present life, the sin, the iniquity, the transgression in which I am presently living in. And from there, then the Lord is bringing to my past life. What did David say? Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. You hear that, children? Then the Lord, he is showing also the inner life. Not only the outward thoughts, the outward deeds, but also the inward thoughts. That these also, they are known by him. What happens in that new birth, that is the same congregation that will happen unto the wicked in the last day, with only one difference, and that is that for them it shall be too late. That all hope in that day will be cut off. And when the Lord is opening this, then a man is receiving no rest in his heart. Asaph, he says, I remembered God and was troubled. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. Do you know what that is? And why is that? David speaks here in this text about a groaning, the groaning. And what was that groaning? He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. No rest. So Bunyan shows that in that Pilgrim's Progress, that man, he cannot sleep in the night. When the Lord is coming, there is no rest for his soul. And why not? A broken relation. And I have sinned against that holy and that righteous God. How then can there be rest? No, then they lie under a curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. All things. What does that mean? That there is that impression that there is not one thing that is hid from that all-knowing God. Did it ever, congregation, cause your heart to tremble? On the other hand, that omniscience of the Lord, that is the cause of a great comfort for his church. That is our second thought. And maybe you say, how is that possible? That is now a great comfort for that church. And we can understand that question. Because for Achan, there was no comfort that the Lord knew everything. No, that was only for him a terror. And he wished that there was no God. And he wished that the Lord, he did not know everything. But David, he says, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. How can that be? Was David without sin? So that he was not as Achan? Or was David ignorant of his own sin? That he thought that he could stand before that holy and that righteous God. That is the case of so many in this world. That we lack self-knowledge. And we lack that knowledge of that righteousness and justice of that Most High God before whom we have to stand. But it was not the case of David. No, he says, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden, and they are too heavy for me. How then can David be glad with that omniscient God? There is, congregation, something more than sin in the life of David. That is not so with the wicked. What was there in the life of David more than sin? We read it here. There was also groaning. Groaning. And there was also a desire. Thus, there was a groaning under that sin. And that means that that sin of David that was before that all-knowing God that has become a burden and a grief in the life of David. And this now is the great difference. Never forget it, young people. Here is the great difference between the church, the true church of God, and the worldling and the hypocrite. Not that those people are more holy. No. Although that is often cast in a mocking way in the teeth of God's people. Not that they are more holy. But here is the difference. That church is fighting a warfare. That means that they are part of that church militant. And it is the warfare that is missing in the life of the wicked. The church itself had never expected that warfare. They thought that that was going to go from strength to strength, and that their life that was going to become holier and holier. We read of Rebecca that she felt something in her womb. It was a struggle. And she did not know why that there was a struggle in her womb. She had not expected this. And where did she go with that struggle? She went to the Lord. Do you do that too? And she asked the Lord, and she says, if it be so, why am I thus? Why this struggle in my womb? Could not understand it. And what did the Lord say to her? He said, there are two nations in your womb. And those two nations, they are struggling against one another. And that struggle between those two nations, that is always going to remain. Paul spoke in Romans 7 also about that struggle, that warfare. When he lays that out also, he says, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. That is the warfare of that church militant. He also groaned under it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. What was that desire of David? You know what that desire of David was? The desire was, oh, could it be so different in my life than it is? Oh, that I could live a holy life. A congregation and people of the Lord, if that could be, and you could live that holy life, then where would be your need for a Savior? And where would be your need for a Redeemer? And where would be your need to be forgiven and your need to be cleansed over and over and over again? Then you could leave Him in His place. The church has to learn what they are and also what they remain, so that that Son of God, in all His mediatorial labors, that He may become and that He may remain precious in the sight of that people. What did David cry? He says, make haste to help me. Oh, Lord, my salvation, all that becomes the only hope and the only expectation of that groaning people. And that is why that the Lord is allowing that people to live under that groaning in their life. He will be the salvation of His church, and that church, they will honor and they will glorify Him forever and forever. But how is it in the continuation then in the life of that people. When the Lord has opened something in His mercy, in His grace, of that mediatorial labor of that Son of God in the life of that people, then there is a desire in their heart for that holy life. Not to merit something, no. But, oh, how? How can they sin against such mercies of the Lord? How ashamed that that people become, that their heart can remain so carnal and so attached after so much goodness of the Lord, after so much evil, so much good. And after so much good, so much evil. Oh, if they could tear that sin out of their bosom, root and branch, and live before the Lord in this life in a holy way. But that wretched, wretched old man, he always remains, so that they cannot do the things that they would. And when sometimes then there is a desire that that old man may be done away, and that they may leave this world and depart, and that that new man, he may forever and forever prevail. Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. Then David does not only speak about his own sin, no, but he speaks also about enemies. Enemies under whom he groaned. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. As if it were not enough for the people that they had to deal with their own sin before that all-knowing God. But I have also to contend with the enemy, that is, with the devil, who is bringing all his accusations against that people. He is not silent, but sometimes he is silencing that people. What could David answer when he had to flee from his own son? And when that wicked Shimei, he is mocking and he is cursing David, what could he answer? His own sin, congregation, that is coming in the foreground. But I, as a deaf man, heard not. And I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth there are no reproofs. That cuts him to his heart, as a sword in his bones. But he dare not give one answer back upon that cursing. And then he can only say one thing. The Lord is right, and the Lord is just. But then he also has a refuge. Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. Oh, what a comfort for David. Even with all his sin and with all his guilt, congregation, has that ever become also a comfort for you? Let us sing. Psalter 103. Lord, in Thee am I confiding.
Thou wilt answer when I call, lest my foes the good deriding triumph in thy servants fall. 1-4 of Psalter 103. My desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Congregation, every one of us, young and old, have a soul. And every one of us, we are before an all-knowing God. And now in the way of application that we have for you this morning, this question, is this for you a terror? Or is this for you a comfort? For many of us, it is a terror. Inside, then we wish that God did not know everything. And we wish that we did not have to give an answer unto Him.
Our conscience is a burden. We labor only to silence that conscience so that we can do as freely as we wish in this world. The law of God is too strict. The law of our parents, young people, maybe that is too narrow. We don't want a law. We want no law but our own law. We want to decide what is right and what is wrong as our father, Adam. We want to go to the places of vanity. We want to go to the places of idle amusement in this world. We want to enjoy all the pleasures of the world with a free conscience. We don't want restrictions in the places where we go. We don't want restrictions in the clothing that we have to wear, in all our activities. We want to live as we wish. Do you dare to pray with David? Lord, all my desire is before thee. And my groaning is not hid from thee. Do you dare to pray that? Your desire is after the world. And your burden, that is a burden with the law of God. Oh yes, indeed, that is all before the Lord. All your desire that's before Him. And your burden, the Sabbath day maybe, and prayer, the reading of His Word, all and that burden that is also before Him. And if it will remain that way our whole life, all then we will also groan. We will groan one day. Under that everlasting wrath of God. Today is still that day of grace, and we are still called to turn from our wicked ways and to live. May the Lord bring that then into our hearts. There are others, congregation, who do not live in such a way. No, actually, then you are living in a very, very careful way. You would never be seen in a worldly place. You would never be seen in worldly clothing or living a worldly lifestyle. No, you are a religious person in your own way, at least in the form. You have good customs. And congregation, they are not to be condemned. No, those good customs are not to be condemned. They are to be commended. And you live a careful life. Maybe so that no one in the whole world, they can say one thing about your life. And maybe that you also, that you are condemning this one or that one for their walk in this world. And yet, when it comes to those things that not one person in this whole world can see, then you have no religion. No, then you are like Ananias and Sapphira. That is a religion of hypocrisy. And you have no desire that the Lord would look into your heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. No. No, you say, Lord, look at my outward life. Look at my outward life. But the Lord Jesus, He said to the Pharisees, He says you are like whited sepulchres. And you appear clean on the outside, but within you are full of dead men's bones. Is that our life? Ask, congregation, that the Lord would show to you then what you miss, what you miss. And that is truth before Him, that uprightness before Him, and that true religion that is not before the world, no, but that is between God and your soul. There are others that are living not only in an outward way carefully, but also in secret, carefully. They are those whose religion that is not only before men, no, but whose religion is also before the Lord. And whose strictness according to His law that extends also to those things that no one in this world is able to see, that is before that omniscient God. And then there is a certain uprightness in your character, that you live as in that sight of God, and you do not want to transgress. And yet, then you say, groaning, desire, no. No, if I am honest with myself, then I must say that I do not know what that groaning is. And I do not know what that this desire is. To pray that with David, Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. No, when I am honest, then I have to say that this I miss. My heart does not go out after the Lord. And really, my sin that has never become a burden to me. Is that your life? I hope, congregation, that your own confession will break your heart. Because we were not created that way. We were created in paradise to serve the Lord. We were created to love Him. We were created to honor and to glorify and to magnify His holy and righteous name. Oh, may that become a burden to you. That it is not in your heart as it ought to be. Do you know what the Lord said of the first world? He says, it repented me that I have made man on the earth. Oh, may that break your heart. There are still others. And you would never dare to place yourself among that true people of the Lord, among that true church of God. No, you say that is too high. And that is too great. You remain on the outside of that people, and you do not dare to believe that the Lord has begun that work of grace in your heart. And yet, you dare not to deny between God and your own soul in this morning hour, even though You may have never said it to men on the earth. Then you dare not to deny, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. And there is a comfort. There is a comfort that you may receive from this in your soul. That the Lord, that all-knowing God, He knows what is within. No, not because I am without sin. No, far from that. I am black. But also my groaning that is not hid from the Lord. And my desire, though I have never revealed it, to the closest one to me in this world, all my desire that is not hid from the Lord, then you cannot say that you have seen that mediator in all his beauty. Then you cannot say that you know something of that deliverance. Then you cannot say that you know something of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before the Lord, then you may say, Lord, all my desire that is before thee, and my groaning that is not hid from thee. Oh, is that not a wonder? Is it not a wonder that he who is now long dead has laid out his heart in that word of God, and that you may find, though you dare not place yourself among that people, that still you may find that your heart that goes out as the heart of one of God's servants. Or would you ever have a desire that David, he was alive today, and that you could sit and talk to that man heart to heart? But is it not a greater wonder that not David knew what was here, but that the Lord himself, that he knows the groaning, and that he knows that desire? To Ruth, Naomi says, sit still, my daughter. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. And to Moses, when the Lord came, then the Lord said to him, I have seen the affliction of my people. And I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. Oh, be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And finally, people of the Lord, if it was not for the grace of God from the beginning to the ending, how would it be possible that you should be saved? Oh, if it was not for the blood that was shed upon that cursed tree, there would be for you no hope, and there would be for you no expectation. What can you make of your life? When will your life become one whit better? Where is the life of love? Where is the life of zeal? Where is the desire? Where is the closeness to the Lord? Where is the holiness in your life as it ought to be. Oh, what a hardness. What a coldness. What a worldliness. What a carnality that lives within the heart. Would it not be a wonder that it would be no wonder if the Lord would cast you away? Yet after everything, because of the ingratitude that lays in your heart, and yet with everything that you have to condemn yourself, that you say it is so wrong, still then there are moments that you have to say, Lord, all my desire that is before thee, and my groaning that is not hid from thee. That deep within, though you cannot change that life, and though the good that you would, you do not, and the evil that you would not, that you do, oh, still, the Lord knows what he has planted. And then you may say, Lord, oh, look at thine own work. And then he will finish perfectly what he for me has undertaken. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we need a true religion between thee and our soul. O work in the heart of each and every one of us. Draw our hearts to thee, that we may return into that blessed communion with our Maker, and that we may be given to hunger and to thirst for that blessed favor of God in our life, that we could not do without thee anymore. Lord, all our desire is before thee, and our groaning that is not hid from thee. Remember us then as a congregation, and do for us what is to the glory of thy name, and to the salvation of our poor souls. Bring us safely to our homes, and with desire in thy house once again in this afternoon hour. Forgive all that was sinful in speaking and in listening. For Jesus' sake, amen. Our closing psalter is number 362, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 362.
Stand.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.